already a live application, and the highway impact of this development was therefore taken into account. The study considers that any further developments would have a severe impact on the highway network. The Highway Authority has concluded, therefore, that the cumulative impact of the proposed development in Sowerby would have a severe impact on the highway network, in particular to this Mount Sorrel Lane Barrow Road junction. Two applications have been considered tonight, the first one already being determined. It is recommended that a condition would be imposed on this planning application, which would require the highway mitigation package to be submitted and approved by the local planning authority before the commencement of development. This is what is recommended, that is advised to the planning inspectorate at the public inquiry. If an appropriate mitigation package is provided, it is considered that this development would not have a severe impact on the highway network. Moving on to infrastructure and delivery, all the infrastructure providers have been consulted to ensure that they originally requested as part of this application is still necessary and that there would be adequate infrastructure to support this development. Leicestershire County Council has confirmed that its infrastructure requests remain as per the amount set out in the original committee report. I refer members to page B31, where that original table can be found. The NHS has requested slightly more than the original request, but the funds would go towards the same schemes at Highgate Surgery and the Bank Surgery. Leicestershire Police are no longer requesting infrastructure contributions. These contributions were previously considered at the public inquiry, and the Planning Inspectorate has been notified of the updated position of all of the infrastructure providers. It is considered that these contributions comply with the SIL regulations and that without these contributions, the development would have an unacceptable impact on social infrastructure. In terms of other material considerations, the Council's Environmental Health Officer has reconsidered the proposal and has confirmed that there have been no material changes to the nearby poultry farm or to relevant legislation that would change their original view on noise and odour issues. Therefore, they continue not to object to the application. I refer members to page B8 of the officer report, where the original reason for refusal is referred to. Then move on to the conclusion. In light of the local planning authority being unable to demonstrate a five-year housing land supply, there is a need to reconsider the planning balance in the light of reduced weight to be attached to policy CS1 and ST2. And the framework's requirement to significantly boost housing supply. Whilst this is a greenfield site located outside the limits of development, it would be located adjacent to a service centre, and while not considered to be small-scale, would meet an identified under-provision of housing. It is also considered that policy ST2 has diminished weight because it would restrict their supply of housing where there is a recognised housing need. The original Plans Committee report confirms that this site would not have an adverse impact on landscape, and the proximity of the site to the nearby poultry farm would not be detrimental to residential amenity in terms of noise and odour. And the Highway Authority is satisfied that this site individually and cumulatively would not have a severe impact on the highway network, provided that a suitable mitigation package is acceptable. The development strategy for Charnwood has reduced weight and no adverse impacts of developing in this location have been demonstrated that would significantly and demonstrably outweigh the benefits of providing the housing. It is therefore considered that at this time the grounds for refusing the application are overcome and that the planning inspectorate should be notified that the local planning authority is of the view that it would approve planning permission in light of new material considerations if it was able to determine the application itself. I refer members to page B34 of the committee papers, which lists the recommended conditions that were discussed at the planning inquiry in February. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Georgina. We have five speakers. The first two speakers are occupying the objector slot. That's Mr. Philip Crawley and Avril Hardwick. Are you both here? Whichever one of you wishes to go first, please join us at the table. You understand, Philip, that you have 2.5 minutes, or if you wish to go over that, then Avril will have less time. You've got 5 minutes between you.
We're trying to do 2 and 3, please.
2 and 3?
Yeah.
Can you set that up, Michael, for 2 and 3, please? So you understand the spotlight system, so that your time will start as soon as you begin. Begin when you're ready. Thank you.
Dear Mr. Chairman and members of the Planning Committee, my name is Philip Crawley and I'm speaking on behalf of Sunrise Poultry Farms Limited, a large employer in Sowerby Village whose premises are close to the application site. We produce, pack and market hen's eggs. I think it is fair to say that Sunrise would prefer no further houses to be built close to our site on Seagrove Road due to the fact that we regretfully do produce an unavoidable level of odour which new residents will find unpleasant. Existing residents who have been in the village for a number of years have learned to accept these odours as part of everyday life. There has been very few objections to date because nobody is living where the majority of the odour is likely to occur, i.e. open fields, and as such no one is there to complain. However, the proposed development is within this area. However, we are very grateful that Hallam Homes have worked with the odour surveys, both physical and desktop based, carried out for Sunrise by Silso Odours, and have redesigned their site and as such moved all of the developments below what is isopleth number 3, the perceived amount of smell that people would find uncomfortable. However, this is an average amount of smell and as such some odours may be greater or less than this amount. Subject to seasonal variations, odours are particularly high on still foggy mornings where there is minimal airflow. Please can it be noted within the minutes of this meeting that if the development is passed, it should represent the end of the development on Seagrove Road and form a cordon sanitaire sectioning Sowerby Village from Sunrise while it is trading in its current format, which it hopes to do for the foreseeable future. Sunrise has been established since 1971 on this site and employs in excess of 75 full-time people and the biggest employer in Sowerby. Complaints could lead to the closure of the site and the inevitable loss of jobs, which surely must be against planning policy. Sunrise is already operating best practice within the industry and complies with regulations set out by the Environment Agency, Charnwood Borough Council, the British Egg Industrial Council, Lion Code, Freedom Foods, which is part of the RSPCA. Thank you for your time. Consideration.
Well done. Avril, would you like to join us? Begin when you're ready.
Good evening. My name is Avril Hardwick and I've been a resident of Sowerby for the last 7-8 years. There have long been grave concerns in the community regarding the impact of concentrated overdevelopment in Sowerby as a direct result of non-plan-led decisions. The Sowerby and Barrow study acknowledged that planning permission was granted for more housing in Sowerby and Barrow than anticipated due to a lack of a 5-year supply. The recently approved Cemetery Road application, and this application, if approved, will represent 67% of the supply deficit for the whole of the borough. 2011-12 yielded a similar pattern of planning approvals in Sowerby, again in the absence of a 5-year land supply, in excess of 400 new homes approved, a deficit contribution of 66% and no mitigation measures. This seems an equitable allocation across a borough spanning some 108 square miles to one of the least infrastructure capable villages. Sowerby is a historic village and infrastructure, incapable, we are told, of modification due to present geometry and lack of physical space at pinch points. There are over 4,000 licensed vehicles in Sowerby as at the end of December 16, excluding 83 Bellway dwellings yet to be built, new Bellway Miller Peveril occupation since 1st of January this year, Cemetery Road development and future occupations at the Maltings. In fact, Sowerby has yet to realise the actual not predicted full impact of previous planning decisions. Sowerby has a population well in excess of 9,000 inhabitants, which will rise significantly following completion of all existing developments. Traffic flow progression on most of the roads around the village is severely impeded by high levels of on-road resident parking. No credibility whatsoever is given to the local community's first-hand experience of living and travelling in the area. The five-mile radius calculation for arriving at car ownership is not recommended in the TRIX Good Practice Guide 2016 and may account for the discrepancies between the actual and the predicted. Highway Authority advice can be challenged and, in my opinion, should be challenged. The area to see the most impact of incremental development in Salby over the past years is likely to be the Seagrave Road corridor, including King Street, High Street and Barrow Junction. May I ask if the LCC advice given to the Strategic Planning Group in 2015 was subject to qualification regarding this application? The community would like to understand the empowerment under which the LCC, as a statutory consultee acting in an advisory capacity, was able to include this yet-to-be-determined application as committed development in its study and subsequently specify the nature of allocation transfers. Thank you.
Thank you, Everall. Next, we have an agent for the developer to speak, Guy Longley. Guy, would you like to join us? Thank you, Guy. I know you understand the traffic system, so please begin when you're ready.
Yes, thank you. My name is Guy Longley, Director at Pegasus Group, and I'm speaking on behalf of the applicant. The officer report confirms that the council cannot demonstrate a five-year supply of housing land and therefore needs to favourably consider proposals for residential development unless adverse impacts would significantly and demonstrably outweigh the benefits. As one of the most sustainable service centres identified in the local plan, Salby is clearly an appropriate location to accommodate further housing growth to meet the identified shortfall. For the land at Seagrave Road, the Council's sole reason for contesting the planning appeal relied on the Council having a five-year supply of housing land. This is no longer the case. The officer report confirms that the proposals would not have an adverse impact on the environment in terms of landscape, heritage, flooding or loss of agricultural land. The inspector in the earlier quashed appeal concluded that the proposals would be acceptable in highway terms, would mitigate its impact on local infrastructure and would not cause any site-specific harm, with only minimal landscape and visual impact. In relation to highway matters, the Highway Authority raised no objections to the original application and recently confirmed to the Council that their previous comments on this application still stood. They have subsequently made further comments in relation to the cumulative impacts of this proposal and the application at Peasehill Farm, and conditions are proposed in relation to both schemes to deal with this. Members should note that the Salby and Barrow-upon-Soar transport study specifically includes the delivery of 195 houses at Seagrave Road as part of its assessment, and the County Council concluded that this scale of development would not require mitigation. The officer report advises that as it is not possible to conclude at this stage which site may be developed, a condition should be applied to both developments requiring mitigation of potential highway impacts. This is an entirely appropriate approach in the current circumstances and is supported, and it remains an appropriate approach following the decision on the previous application, as it gives the Council comfort, as explained by your Head of Planning. We would therefore urge members to accept the officer recommendation that the Council inform the Planning Inspectorate that the Local Planning Authority would be minded to approve the planning application, subject to conditions and an appropriate Section 106 agreement. Thank you.
Thank you, Guy. We have for Syston Parish Council, Andrew Thomas again, please. Salby, I beg your pardon. Begin when you're ready, Andrew.
Thank you very much. You'll be happy to know I'm not going to repeat all the comments that I made previously, but some of those apply equally as well, in some respects slightly differently to this application. As far as highway matters are concerned, I just want to repeat again that no satisfactory mitigation measures have been suggested to deal with highway issues at the Barrow Road, Mount Sorrel Lane junction. With all due respect to your planning officers, we don't have the Highway Authority advising us that a scheme is likely to come forward. We have the Highway Authority telling us that the schemes that have come forward are not acceptable. And that's a plain, simple fact. There's a point of procedure here too as well. The developer has not submitted any indication that they are even prepared to consider mitigation measures as far as the appeal proceedings are concerned. And in advance of those appeal proceedings next year, we may, of course, find out that they will want to challenge that in its entirety. Officers are suggesting a condition, again, but we urge you not to do that without certainty, and you've resisted that approach with regard to the first application tonight. Also, another matter which hasn't been raised yet is that the applicant, or the appellant in this case, also has a current live planning application, an identical planning application, for the scheme which is currently at appeal. So it may be that that will be coming before you shortly for a determination before the appeal proceedings. So I just would suggest that you very, very carefully think what signal, what decision you give tonight, because that might well feed into the determination of that subsequent planning application. Finally, as far as highway matters are concerned, I just want to touch on one point that the speaker before me just made in support of the scheme. He mentioned that the Sileby and Barrow-on-Soar transport study allows specifically for 195 houses at this site. In my understanding, that is not the case. The document took into account 195 houses, but that's an area-wide allowance between the whole of the area considered in the study. That's Barrow-on-Soar and Sileby, and I hope your officers will be able to correct that matter for you. Moving on to the planning concerns and the planning issues, the speaker before me mentioned that you should look favourably on decisions where there's a shortage of housing land, unless there's some form of demonstrable harm. As I've said previously, just because there's a shortage of 5 years housing land supply, it does not mean that you have to approve these applications. Yes, you have to give weight to the fact that there's a shortage of land supply, but that is not the be-all and end-all of anything. Other material considerations in that respect are the fact that your core strategy is trying to provide the right number of homes, but crucially, it's not trying to shirk that responsibility. You've identified land that is capable of providing deliverable homes. Developers are not delivering them at the moment, and that's the issue here. Your plan is trying to develop the right number of houses in the right locations. As far as harm is concerned, I'll just remind you of a quote from the previous appeal inspector on this site. He said, significant harm would result from the appreciable degree of deviation and resultant lack of certainty that could be replicated elsewhere. I'm concerned that communities that have engaged in the recent core strategy would take a harmfully mordant view of whether or not there was a genuine plan-led system for growth if growth levels edged well above the 3,500 figure. There's already well in excess of 3,500 houses committed to be developed within the service centres within your local plan. I'd ask you carefully to consider putting forward a motion where you will resist this appeal, both on highway grounds, to be consistent with your previous decision, and planning policy grounds. You do not need these houses in this location. It will blow a hole through your development strategy. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. We have the ward councillor, Councillor Paling. Here he is. Oh, we'll wait for you, Andrew, don't worry. Please begin when you're ready.
Right. Fellow councillors, Chair, thanks for the opportunity to speak on behalf of the residents. tonight, whilst listening to the people who spoke tonight, I would like basically to bring to the council's attention the problems with the infrastructure of the doctors. We're in a position where Cemetery Road, 108 dwellings, has now increased the population to 259 people. Seagrave Road, 195 dwellings, 468 people. Peasel, potential population, 408. That is a net increase of 1,135 people across two surgeries. If these applications are accepted, the banks would receive £183,000 and Highgate Medical Centre would receive £123,000. I'd like to read a statement from the bank surgery, and this, having spoken to the other surgery, this is their concerns. In August 2016, West Leicestershire CCG commissioned a commercial real estate and property consultant to complete a premise scoping option analysis for the bank surgery. They summarised that the surgery suffers from numerous shortcomings as follows. The premises do not have disabled access, baby changing facilities, meeting room and separate practice managed rooms. The practice would like to become a GP training practice to improve the likelihood of recruiting new doctors. However, current premises are not acceptable to the deanery. There is inadequate staff welfare space, not in line with HBN, Department of Health Building Notes, guidance, lack of facilities to undertake minor surgery. The practice expansion plans are constrained by both limited space and resource, meaning that the surgery will struggle to improve access to care for patients in our catchment area. They concluded that an overall additional requirement of 336 square metres internal space were needed to make the current rooms meet the required standards. The mandatory privacy and decency requirements and the additional rooms required for service needs to accommodate possible increase in registered patients list are a result of housing growth we're talking tonight. Their conclusion was the relocation of a GP surgery to a new build premise would meet all the functional requirements and offer better value for money based on a financial analysis. They recognised, however, the lack of availability of alternate sites and the extensive financial investment needed. The recommendation, therefore, was to reconfigure and refurbish the existing premises in order to meet the compliance needs of the regulatory authorities like the CQC and improve access to care in the short term. The potential to extend the current premises by providing additional first floor accommodation to use primarily for non-clinical staff, patient record storage and meeting facility would enable the whole of the ground floor to be used for patient care. To do this would provide improved, more responsive care outcome related to local prevalence, increase the capacity for...
1 minute, Andrew.
Okay, thank you. The current facilities at the bank surgery have 96% utilisation as room spaces. We are providing above the national average of GP appointments routinely. And basically, just to summarise it up, both surgeries are struggling with the impact of additional housing. Thank you very much.
Thank you now, Andrew. Members, before I move over to you, Mr. Thomas asked for clarification about the 195 houses. Could I ask Georgina if she would give that clarification, please? Oh, Richard, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. The Barrow and Sibee Transport Study was produced at by the County Council in 2016, and it sets out their understanding of the transport network at that time. We've been careful to invite the comments of the Highway Authority on this application, as we did back in December 2016 when you considered the application back then. The Highway Authority's advice is unequivocal that the 195 dwellings at Seagrove Road or the development at Pease Hill Farm can be accommodated within the existing network in Selby without any mitigation. That's the most recent position, Chair.
Thank you, Richard. Could I have an indication from any members who wish to speak? I've got Ian, and then I've got Bill. We'll start with Ian while you're all thinking.
Okay, well, I think the last time this came before the committee, I proposed refusal. I don't see anything today that's changed my mind. I'm a bit concerned, though, that apparently the odour issue has now somehow been set aside, whereas I would say it's still very, very much an issue in this location. I think if this was to go ahead, I think in probably within the next 5 years, I think there'd be a move to shut the egg farm down because of odour. I just think it's an absolutely ridiculous position for this application, and I have no difficulty whatsoever going with officer recommendation.
Going with officer recommendations? Did you say you were going with officer? Can I just make sure I've got that exactly right? You are proposing refusal of acceptance against officers' recommendations.
I am.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Right. Bill.
Thank you, Chair. Much has been made in several applications over the past few months about the lack of 5-year supply. But there's one thing that does seem to be forgotten with all of this, and it was a point mentioned by Mr. Thomas earlier. When the core strategy was put together, it wasn't just a grand total of houses for the borough. It was actually broken down into the various areas. And there had been considerable amount of work done by the officers as to what houses were needed and where they should be. And we seem to have missed the bit about where they should be. It's just the fact that the borough is short of houses, we're not meeting the higher supply. Let's everybody panic and let's build the houses wherever we can. I actually think the fact that we're ignoring the breakdown of where those houses should be is a big mistake. I take the point that a lot of these, that was brought out in the core strategy, a lot of these small villages couldn't support large numbers or large increases in their population or their number of houses. And therefore, we should actually consider that as a sensible part of our considerations. It's not the whole thing, but I believe a certain amount of weight should be given to it. I also support the point that's been made by Councillor Bentley regarding the odour and the positioning of this site. I think it's an awful place to put a housing development, or any development. It would be much better left as agricultural land where the odours will only affect the animals that are there. And therefore, I shall be supporting Councillor Bentley and going against officers' recommendation.
Thank you, Bill. David?
Chairman, thank you. There's been a lot said about the Charmond Borough Council, the local planning authority, not having a 5-year supply. And I just wanted to confirm through officers what Andrew Thomas said, that it's not the council that hasn't approved many schemes to make sure we've got a 5-year supply. It is actually the developers not developing once they've got 5-year supply. So I would like to confirm that. So, officers, if you could, I'd be very grateful.
Thank you. I think the question is approvals versus build-out.
Thank you. Through you, Chair. I think there is an issue about delivery once applications have planning permission. Members will be aware that the core of our strategy for the borough is to develop the three sustainable urban extensions, and they are not coming forward quickly enough to feed the supply of houses in the borough. So Whilst that is the case, there are insufficient new permissions coming forward in the background to replenish that supply, and that's why we've got this pressure around the five-year supply at the moment. I think it was mentioned earlier on that we're about 460 homes light of having a five-year supply. So the issue really is that whilst these large sites are not coming forward, that is going to place pressure on us to release sites elsewhere to maintain the fluidity of supply, and that's why you're seeing sites come forward for your consideration.
Thank you, Richard. Do I have any more speakers?
Chairman, sorry.
Yes, carry on, David.
The only thing that I'd say, and I support what Councillor Bevington said in terms of that we are giving a legacy now to our children and grandchildren to say we aren't looking at the core strategy, we're not building houses in the right place. And I go back to what we said earlier on, and I said that there's 920 houses if these two are actually into Sileby. And that is an enormous amount of a lot to take in a village that has no extra infrastructure or very little in terms of how we get around that village. So it is, for me, there's not a lot of change to when we actually did this previously. I can only see that it's around the five-year supply that we're saying that we actually approve it, when we, I think, a heck of a lot of us refused this the last time. So I again, unfortunately, go against officer's recommendation. But this is not for decision, I guess. It's something that we've got to send to the inspector when it comes up again. And I think we should just leave it as it is. But I do believe that we should actually stress again about the impact of the highway situation when we get the cumulative effect. So that should be put in there when for the inspector to deal with. And I guess we're going to be involved if this is refused by our council. So I think that's something officers should bear in mind when and if it is refused. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, David. Roy?
Thank you, Chair. Just a clarification, it was mentioned that if this is approved and the egg place has to close down, is that a consideration we should be thinking about, planning reason to, at all?
Through you, Chair. If I could maybe clarify to begin with, or to refer members to page B28 of the office report, where much more detail is given on the impact of the relationship with the poultry farm. That's in the original committee report, hence why the committee report I brought to you tonight is shorter in detail. Through the original committee report, it does describe the distance from the application site to the poultry farm, stating it's some 350 metres south of Sunrise Farm. At that time, the applicants did a noise and odour assessment and demonstrated that the development would be outside of the odour zone. This was our environmental health officers were consulted at that time and confirmed that this site wouldn't prevent the poultry farm from continuing as it is at present. The environmental health officers were not concerned by the odour and also recommended that conditions were put on the application to prevent any noise concerns with the poultry farm, and they are also in the conditions as listed in the report.
Thank you, Georgina. Hilary?
Thank you. Well, once again, I'm coming at this as fresh eyes. Do I understand tonight that we are not making a decision as to approval or not? What we are doing is giving our considered opinion to go forward to the inspector who will make the final decision.
The situation is exactly, Hilary, that this application is to be determined by the inspector. The inspector wants to know what decision we would have made if it was up to us to make it now.
So that is as per B33. And that is the proposal that that has been put on the table, that we go against officers' recommendation and reaffirm our recommendation as per page 33, B33. Well, I was looking, sorry, would be minded to approve. I'm saying the motion on the table was the amendment put forward by Councillor Bentley that we go against officers' recommendation and we would be minded to refuse this application at this committee, and the grounds would be as per B33.
Thank you.
With all those technical words.
Thank you, Hilary. Let me just ask Georgina for detailed clarification.
Thank you, Chair. That is the case, Councillor Fryer. So the officer recommendation tonight is to remove, as is the final reason for refusal, so we're seeking a recommendation to remove any reasons for refusal, but actually to advise the inspectorate that if we were in a position to make a decision that we would actually approve the scheme.
Subject to mitigation of the roads, of the junctions.
That is correct. That,
but on B33, I'm sorry I'm being a bit pedantic, but this is all fresh to me, is that in the paragraph on B33, there is no mention there, unless someone can point it out to me quickly, about mitigation of the particular junction we're concerned about.
Jill, can you point us to it?
Thank you, Chair. Just to help clarify this a bit. The last time members considered this application back in December, you came up with the reason on page B33. That was the position that we... that is the existing position. What the report is before you tonight is to say that officers considered that in light of our five-year supply position, that opinion of the local planning authority should change to be minded that it would have approved it if it had the opportunity to do so tonight. So I think the proposal has been put forward by Councillor Bentley that we actually stick with our current position, which is that we would still be minded to refuse the application with a slight amendment to take into account the issue of transport. Was that right? No. Odour. Beg your pardon. Yes. Yeah.
Can I just come back? Can we say in our statement that we would be minded to refuse on those reasons plus the odour? And can we also say, should the inspector be minded to approve the application, we would be looking for mitigation of the road junction?
Please advise, Richard.
Chair, through you, it's up to the committee to decide if it wants to add in odour, but I would draw your attention to the officer's report where it does make it very clear. This was page B28, where it's very clear that in the opinion of the environmental health officer that this site is outside the zone of worst affliction, if you like, as far as odour is concerned, and that any potential noise can be dealt with by condition. So what I'd ask you is, has the situation about odour got any worse since you last considered it as a committee to justify coming up with an amendment to that original position?
What about my thing that are we allowed to say to the inspectorate, should he be minded or she be minded to approve the application, we would be looking for mitigation on the traffic situation in the centre of the village?
Again, I would point you to the Highway Authority's advice, where they've said that this scheme can come forward without any need for any mitigation in the village. And that was a decision that the committee did consider back in December. If you remember, in December 2016, the committee removed the reason for the transport reason for refusal, which was originally put forward by the committee back in June. 2016, was it June, July 2016? So we've already considered the issue of transport. The committee first refused it on the basis of transport and sustainability, but subject to further advice of an independent transport consultant, removed that reason, that transport reason, in December. So our advice is that, in light of the Highway Authority's advice and our independent consultant, that refusing it on the grounds of transport or would not be the way forward.
Thank you. I've got no more speakers, so Brenda.
I'd just like to point of clarity again, and I've got to refer to the last application in that. So the highways are saying that no mitigation is necessary for this development. However, if the previous development had gone through, an arrangement, gentleman's agreement, or however you would like to say it, is that both developers would contribute to separate and together mitigations. We've lost that opportunity, have we? Or is this development, this developer going to say, okay, it says I don't have to give any mitigations, but out of the goodness of my heart, I will do. Is that likely to happen, or have we lost it?
Through you, Chair. This application is still a live application. So, as you know, we're in an appeal. We can't make a decision, and a decision won't be made until after the public inquiry next year. But through the public inquiry, there is a part of the inquiry where you do discuss conditions. So, so the conditions that I've referred to tonight are the ones that we did discuss at the public inquiry last time, even though we were recommending refusal, because you have to do that in case the inspector doesn't agree. So in the inquiry next year, we would still be able to go and recommend the conditions that we would put on if the inspector didn't agree, that we would have an opportunity there to add that additional mitigation condition at that time.
Thank you.
Having cleared that, Ian has made a proposal. Is there a seconder to Ian's proposal that we vote against officers' recommendation?
No. Bill's second.
Bill, sorry, Bill. Difficult to see you down there. Michael wants a word. Thank you, Michael. Did I written odours and potential noise down here? Was that crossed off? Okay, Michael is correct then. Ian, you're the proposer. You tell me.
Just for clarity, then, I just want to add that I still think that odour and noise could be a problem.